the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
A narrative.
You're listening to the Discipleship Now radio broadcast with your host, Pastor Hilton Wells. Stay tuned and allow the Holy Spirit to give you power, insight, and revelation from the Word of God to be the type of disciple that Christ has destined you to be. Listen closely, open your heart, and be blessed.
I receive it, I'm blessed.
Went too late to put coal every day and see what happened with no water. You have to have a diet of the Word. It washes us. It cleanses us. It calls us to be who we ought to be. A lot of times we way too carnal because of what we feed in ourselves. I'm going to just say this. Let me finish this. Verse 20. Then David got up from the ground after he had washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. His attendants asked him, "Why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept. But now that the child is dead, you get up and eat." He answered, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again?" Well, Old Testament thought, of course, he thought he couldn't. Of course, we know we can raise the dead. "I will go to him, but he will not return to me." Then David comforted his wife, Bathsheba, and he went to her and made love to her. She gave birth to a son. Listen carefully. And they named him Solomon. The Lord loved him. And because the Lord loved him, he sent word through Nathan the prophet to name him Jedidiah. They named him Solomon, but God had a name for him. Jedidiah means love of the Lord. In other words, even though his failure was permanent, those wives were going to be slept with by Absalom, the sword was never going to leave his home. God still gave him another chance through this child. It said he loved this child. And we know that Solomon became the king. David had too much blood on his hands from war to build God's temple. He put aside the provision because Solomon was going to be a man doing rest. David ruled in Israel for 40 years. Solomon ruled in Israel for 40 years. Solomon's rule was 40 years of peace. God still blessed a mess. Somebody might say, "I've had a divorce." Yes, that's a permanent failure. That's some repercussions from divorce that don't change. Okay, somebody might say, "I got fired from my job. Yes, that's permanent. You know, it's on your record. You got fired. Somebody might say, "I've been arrested." Yes, that's permanent. It's on your record. You've been arrested. But that don't mean God won't come back and bless you again. Just like he blessed Solomon's child. This was a child out of a horrible situation. The punishment was given. The judgment was made. But God still can bless a mess. Permanent failure is not permanent if you do like David did. After he lost a child, it said he washed himself and he went into the house and worshiped. Principle number two. When you have a permanent failure, don't you stay there and think that you're a failure because you failed. No, wash your face, change your clothes, and go back to worship. And God will bless you with a Jedidiah. That's principle number two. Wash yourself and worship God. Number three, we're not going to go into it. It's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1 through 27. You can read it later if you want, but I'm just going to go over it. Basically, what takes place in 1 Chronicles 21, 1 through 27, is David is prompted by Satan to number the men of Israel, the fighting men. So it's a pride thing. He want to know how many fighting men he got. He finds out that he has 1,100,000 in Israel. Then he has 470,000 in Judah. This is how many fighting men he has. But his captain of his army, Joab, he didn't want to go do this. He knew it was a prideful thing. He knew it was outside the will of God. So after he gave the count, the prophet came back to him. It's okay. Just pray for him. Be careful what he watch. You have to be careful. Let me just put some of this about video games. Video games. Had to be careful in my own house, okay? Everything your child takes in is getting in them. We can't be upset with our children for displaying what we've allowed them to receive inside their hearts. And a lot of these video games, they program fast, loud, and crude. Even the world got enough sense to do ratings. As saints, we better make sure we're taking heed as well. Everything in life is a seed. When the seed is planted, the seed gonna bring forth fruit. We don't know when it's gonna bring forth fruit. After Sunday, my goal, I'm going to go back to these short messages. Y'all just hang on in there. Hang on in there. It takes something for me to get here anyway. Just be careful. Just be careful. Understand there's two kingdoms going on. There's the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and there's the kingdom of Satan, which is the prince of the power of the air. In his kingdom, he don't care nothing about us. He hates us. Know that we literally have an enemy out there. Satan is our enemy because his judgment has already been passed. He's been judged guilty for all eternity. Can I say it like this? Y'all let me slide. So Satan is mad as. He's so mad. The Bible says in John 10:10 that he comes to kill. Anybody that's willing to kill you, they're upset. People with a murder spirit, either they deceived or they got a lot of anger in them. Bitterness. They've been robbed. Something happened. I'll kill you. I'll slap you. Knock you out. Nothing but old stronghold. Satan got an eternal sentence on his life. He's worse than any terrorist you ever seen. He don't mind doing whatever it takes, if it's talking loud or talking sweet, to get you to go with him. So these things are embedded in the music, embedded in the games, embedded in the shows. I'm going to throw something else out there. Be careful allowing your child to watch television in the room by themselves. None of this is judgmental. It's no different than a doctor telling you, lay off on the cigarettes, don't drink alcohol, slow up on the processed foods. No different than a doctor saying that to you. I'm just telling you, be aware. Be aware. Because these things have impact. I wonder if I would have ever fornicated had I not been exposed to so much fornicative material. That way you can explain to your child what that is. Because I had no limit. My parents let me watch whatever I want to watch. And to the flesh, you're saying, please let me do that. But I want you to know this. If we love our children, we provide the godly atmosphere we're supposed to provide. We've trained them up in the way they should go. When they get old, the word says they won't depart. All we can do is trust the word. If we know we did our best, we can't be hard on ourselves for the result. But if you know you could have done better in certain areas, and now that once you've heard it, you can't act like you haven't heard it. What do you mean, Pastor, don't let them watch the television by themselves? Well, not that they're bad kids. Every kid in here is a great kid. I really don't even believe in bad people. God don't show me. I just believe ultimately everybody's good with a depraved nature that needs Christ as Savior. That's how I believe. But when we let them in the room by themselves, the television is governing what's being received in their life. And they have no, as the world say, parental guidance to help explain what they're seeing. Go watch TV. You could be letting them be parented by a rapist, a fornicator, a liar. You don't know who's going to show up on the screen because the television becomes a parent doing our job for us. Let's be there with them. Let's be there with them. We're closing. So he numbered Israel out of pride. He sent the prophet. The prophet said, because you repented, I'm going to give you three options. Option number one, there can be famine in the land for 3 years. Option number two, I'll let your enemies chase you down for 3 months. Option number three, I myself will fight against you with pestilence for 3 days. David said, you know what David said. And it wasn't based on the numbers. It's based on his relationship with God. He said, I'd rather fall into God's hand than into the hand of my enemies. Give me the 3 days. We know that's the truth because even when the baby died, he said, well, I'm going to fast and pray. Father, help us, all of us, to know your heart, to get closer to you. David loved God, man. And he knew God. He knew he can get God to change his mind. Boy, that's a message. Getting God to change his mind. And I want you to know, in this text, he did. He told the angel to stay his hand. My God. Go back and read it. He was standing over Jerusalem about to slay him. God is so loving. The Shire. What he said was, I got to repent for this. The angel was standing between heaven and earth, about to do it. He gave David instruction. Go sacrifice. Build an altar. When he built that altar, it stayed the angel's hand. With a perceived failure, you have to praise God and continue to pursue your purpose. With a permanent failure, you have to wash your face and still go ahead and worship God. Wash your face meaning let the past go. It's over, it's done with, I'm still going to worship God. With a pride failure, which is what this was in the book of Numbers, pride got it. How many of us that made bad decisions out of pride? Ain't nobody tell me nothing. I already know. I know best. No. I want to get God's heart. Because a lot of the failures we make is simply because of pride. Pride is self-will. Arrogance even. They got a strong Greek word, hubris. That's a $1 million word. Go look that up. Some strong stuff in hubris. It's a certain type of pride. Make you do some wild stuff. For a pride failure, we must humble ourselves and obey God. Humble ourselves and obey God. Like David did. Humble himself. God gave him instruction. He did it. Let's stand.
We want to talk to people tonight.
Thank you for joining us for the Disciples.